Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When you sift through the Papa Roger mystery, the details that stick in your throat aren't just the tone of the arguments. It's the precision. Out of all the noise online in those weeks after the murders, one account managed to predict the exact kind of weapon, talk about a sheath before it was ever made public, and raise questions that lined up almost word for word with the criminology survey behind Brian Koberger that he himself had been discussing at DeSales. And we're going to break all of this down for you today with Jennifer Coffendaffer. This is a new creepy correlation that we are pointing out here for the first time. It's not a coincidence, it's a mirror. And that's what makes this part of the story so hard to shake. If Papa Roger wasn't Koberger, then we're left staring at someone who paralleled his work, his thought process, his language, his profile picture. Nobody knew any of these things yet, keep in mind. We're talking about a guy who, like Koberger, argued with everyone in sight, obsessed over providing or proving himself right, and leaned into this condescending academic tone. He wasn't just posting theories. He was posturing, performing, fighting to establish dominance again. It's not casual. It's someone with a very specific personality type, and it just so happens to be the same one every student, professor, and former acquaintance now describes when they talk about Koberger. But here's where it gets murky. The timeline of when Papa Roger disappeared, the copycat accounts that sprung up using the same profile picture, and the constant churn of speculation all muddy the water. Law enforcement says flatly it wasn't him. Yet when you lay his survey questions next to Papa Roger's forum prompts, the overlap is almost laughably on the nose. Why pick this victim over others? Why this house, this entrance point, this scene? It's like watching someone rehearse their own crime through anonymous posts. And if it wasn't him, then we've got another question altogether. Who out there was shadowing this case so closely, with such unsettling accuracy, that their words can't be separated from the alleged killers? Because that's not a garden variety internet sleuth. That's someone with skin in the game. So Jennifer, let's pull this apart. When you look at these eerie parallels, the sheath prediction, the linguistic quirks, the copycat confusion, do they convince you that Papa Roger was Koberger R all along, or do you still see enough gaps in the digital trail to keep the door cracked open that this was someone else entirely? Let's get into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I tried to actually, this is how far down the Roger rabbit hole I got. I started looking at punctuation.
Okay.
Because different people punctuate very differently. Like as an example, I often don't punctuate.
Mm-hmm.
I purposefully don't punctuate when I'm on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to punctuate. I want the person to wonder, is it a question mark? Is it a exclamation point? You can read into that whatever you will, that statement I'm making, right? So I purposely often don't punctuate. When he writes, he sometimes punctuates and sometimes doesn't. So I couldn't even get a read on that.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be able to. He used the word dolt, D-O-L-T, which isn't used very often, which mm-hmm. is like a dumbass.
Yeah, adult. Adult. Yeah, yeah.
And that's another sort of, I consider it something in academia, mm-hmm. right? Very well-educated people sort of use the word dolt. I always found that interesting, and I tried to find it in all his other writings. I couldn't. I found it interesting he wrote, "The Killer Lived Alone." This was very early on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, back to those eerie things. He also wrote, "Breaking news, a white car is driving somewhere in the Americas," which I thought was interesting, always trying to deviate away from the white car, which he knew he was very much linked to. And as we're seeing come out now, everything he did after he realized, oh my gosh, they're focusing on the white car.
Yeah.
Like his new, the searches that have been revealed recently.
Yeah. And we are now seeing just how paranoid he was getting right up until the point where he was arrested on that December 29th at his parents' home, searching terms like wiretap. And this is another one that gets me. Psychopaths paranoid. So he's literally sitting there identifying as a psychopath, I guess, at this moment in time, or he just wants to join the club and, you know, emulate what they do. What do psychopaths do when they might be getting caught? How do they act when they're paranoid? It's another very mechanical aspect to Koberger that really makes him feel not human. And just following the script of something. Were you surprised at just his level of paranoia right when they came in on him? Or, you know, obviously, it shows a level of some self-awareness that he's not unstoppable, because he was watching this stuff like a hawk.
Yeah, no, he was so paranoid. And I agree with you. The fact he labeled himself not as an incel, as a psychopath, at least in what they found. Again, I always caution, because they found so little, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You think that, you know, he only searched a few things? No, he probably searched hundreds of things. Just think how many research in a
day.
But
yeah.
He did such a great job covering it all up.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, look at these gems here to show how paranoid he really was, and how he identified, I think, was really important. I think he knew he was a psychopath from this.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder, like, how... I wonder what that feels like to because most psychopaths aren't necessarily in tune with their psychopathy. They're kind of just like, they just keep going and doing their thing. They don't lean into it. But it seems like Koberger's like, yeah, I'm psycho, and this is what I'm going to search for. And does that strike you as odd, that he's literally identifying as a psychopath?
No, because I think many of them do. It's just in their ages, or, you know, everything we have evidentiary wise on them, we didn't see them talk about it. And that's what I always said about Papa Roger. For me, why I found it so intriguing was because this was the modern era of BTK right into the Wichita Eagle and Beacon, or Cake TV, right? This was taunting and, you know, taunting law enforcement and the public at an all new level. That's why I thought this was so interesting. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think it's him, only because law enforcement says that it isn't. But man, I want to see the evidence.
Then who is it?
We don't have any.
Who could it possibly be if it's not him? I guess would be my question to you.
Yeah, well, I think law enforcement has determined that. I really do.
Yeah.
I just think they haven't released it. I think for them to come out and not just say, listen, we never developed that, or we don't know. They're so sure of themselves. So it makes me think they've identified that.
Are they, or do they just use the wrong terms when they presented this? That's my like, maybe you use a little too overconfident of terms or saying it, like, and I'm like, okay, cool. I just love to know more. And if they do know who it is, why would they not? I guess, suppose there's privacy issues there. If it is someone else, to say, hey, it was you. Not everyone may feel happy about that, their identity being thrown out there, but I don't know, but they haven't said that either. They haven't said, we know who it is. They just said, we don't think it's him.
Well, we know early on they did think it was him.
Mm-hmm.
There was source information out there. Dateline talked about it. There was definite source information, and we know they had a great source that said it was Papa Roger. This was in the earlier time frame, right? And then we know follow-up from that. We now see the documents. I mean, I'm posting these documents where they are doing a deep dive on Papa. So even law enforcement was convinced it was Papa.
Yeah.
And then now they're saying it's not. I want to see those documents that say, even if they black it out, redact it, where's the one that says, based on this review, because the review we saw was so weak, it didn't really say anything.
Yeah.
I want to see the one that says the IP address associated with the all the Papa Roger postings are this person redacted.
Yeah. Something. Just something. Just, yeah. It's the mystery that at this point doesn't really matter all that much. But what matters to me about it is I feel like they're missing something. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like they needed to dig deeper on that one. And maybe that's something we should be paying more attention to in the future in the modern age of these monsters like this is, you know, it's not the Wichita Eagle. We're not just going to get the data off of the disc that he did at his church in Park City. We got to dig deeper into these sort of characters, even when there is a VPN. Maybe there needs to be some more I don't know. I don't know what you could do to possibly outmaneuver folks like this. If they want to be anonymous, they want to get their message out there, they're going to find ways to do it without being tracked. I just feel like we hit this brick wall and didn't dig deeper to see what's behind the brick wall, because I think there's more to it. It's a facade of a brick wall. It's one of those thin rock ones where it just falls away and it's like, oh, it's a, you know, there's something back here. Here's what this conversation underscores. We're not just dealing with a murder case. We're dealing with the first big test case of how digital anonymity intersects with real-world violence. Papa Roger, whoever he was, became a character in this story because he blurred the lines between speculation and confession. He didn't just talk about the case. He seemed to foreshadow it, echo it, and maybe even live it in real time. And that's the part that still gnaws at me. If you lined up all the posts Papa Roger made with the latter revelations about Koberger, the overlaps are damning. The survey-like questions, a fixation on the sheath, the combative tone, the desperation to dominate. If it looks like him, argues like him, and thinks like him, why shouldn't people believe it was him? But the catch is, law enforcement's denial forces us into the limbo. If we take him at their word, then the haunting alternative is that someone else was inside that forum, playing puppet master with uncanny insight. Maybe they were just guessing brilliantly. Maybe they had access to whispers of information that hadn't gone public yet. Or maybe they were just another predator, one we still don't know. What sticks with me is the gap between we don't know and it wasn't him. That overconfidence, that insistence, creates the very vacuum conspiracy theories thrive in. If authorities had said, we couldn't prove it, we'd still have questions, but at least the door would be open. Instead, by shutting it with finality, they made the ghost of Papa Roger even more compelling. And that's what this segment really highlights. Digital footprints don't vanish just because someone logs off. They linger, they echo, and they demand scrutiny. Whether Papa Roger was Koberger or not almost matters less than the fact that someone out there, someone real, used that mask to stir chaos, provoke fear, and leave a trail of unanswered questions. The takeaway for me? We can't afford to dismiss these online personas as noise. They're not just chatter. They're windows into psychology and sometimes in pathology. And until we see the hard evidence law enforcement uses to eliminate Koberger from that handle, Papa Rogers remains the riddle inside the case. Not solved, not dismantled, just lingering. Like a shadow that refuses to disappear. Tell me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not there already, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us there. Be sure to press subscribe while you're there as well. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.